Welcome to episode 495 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure, with leaf blowers in the background. On this week's episode, we feature a regular contributor, songwriter, musician, actor, artist, and our resident storyteller, Little Star Run. We talked to Little Star Run about recording some new music, her theater work as of late, playing out live, about the months of October and November, savoring warm drinks, your shadow side. Of course, she shares a great story with us that connects to feminism, to the idea of a night hag and Lilith. We talk about All Hallows Eve, a vegan milk protester, the collective unconscious, subversive thought, and preparing for the winter. A great conversation with Little Star Run this go-round. We have an EW essay titled Night Hag, and we share some compelling facts and figures as gathered and published by Harper's Magazine for its October 2022 issue. We have an EW poem called Fine Days. And of course, all of this will be infused, imbued with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to be with you. Let's get to it then. Episode 495 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
So there's 20 doors around her heart, black and blue, the tittle of boys. I tore my knees up getting to you, cause I needed to find out what the thing was for. I've been reading, a man the time came to explore. I went ain't far, cause I thought, like I like it. Little tease, but I didn't mean it. But you mess with a good star, you gotta pay. A good time was guaranteed for one and all. The tattoos, target practice in the hall while waiting for their number to get called out. I found out what the wait was about. I was a good time, yeah. I got pretty good at changing tires upstairs, bro. I shot my mouth off and you showed me what that hole's for.
Night Hag. The night hag is sitting on my chest, perhaps to find some rest, despite the reality of my world and perception. Lilith is everywhere. She is within the teenage girls of Iran. The young woman from Sweden who speaks about a climate crisis. She is in both Madonnas, or maybe just in one of them. What do you think? Fierceness and gentle, strong and softness. Beauty is power. Power is beautiful. It can be ugly, too. I suppose it depends on how one wields it, how one yields to it. There are gothic females in the neighborhood where I live. There are business moms and hippie chicks, traditional Christian, Muslim, and Jewish women, agnostic, atheist, straight, trans, bi, gay, hip hip, hooray. Human, all of us. What would Lilith think? Are we free being who we are and want to be? The obsession, the repression, the judgment and oppression. I long for a time when the deep wisdom, soul strength, and unifying power of conviction, forged in the genuine intrinsic sense of justice and objective love, inspires a vast multitude of human beings to break free of our base, weak impulses, still all too strong and prevalent. The Sun Queen and Moon King can then more truly guide us on our axis, inside this galaxy of our Milky Way, and the spirit world no longer scares us so, because we are really alive and courageous and good.
When I met you, just
Little Star Run. Is that you?
Hi, EW. Yes, it's me. How are you today?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's a beautiful fall day. Life is good.
Yeah, well put. And it's so nice. It's so good to have you here on Troubadours and Rock on Tours yet again. Rachel is a regular. I shouldn't say Rachel. Who's Rachel?
My alter ego.
Your alter ego. Little Star Run is a regular contributor. She is a songwriter, a musician, an actor, an artist, and our resident storyteller, among other things. And she has a story to tell us today at some point. But first, let's get reacquainted. It's been, maybe a half a year or more since you've been on the program. You've been busy with some things, and so have we. We've had a lot of good folks sharing their voices on the show. But again, it's so good to have you back. What have you been up to?
Oh, a lot of creative projects. Releasing some new music, been in the recording studio, which I'm really excited about. I finally found a studio that I really like recording at, and so I've been spending a lot of time doing that. A lot of theater, a lot of writing. not a lot of live shows, but I've been playing some live shows with my band. I have a full band put together now.
Is it under the moniker Little Star Run, or are you using a different name?
No, still under Little Star Run. Essentially still my songs, just with musicians added in. And it's going good. It's going good.
Excellent. And we were coming upon the Thanksgiving holiday, Halloween. Some folks will listen to this right around Halloween. Some will listen to it a little later than that, in November. So, we have that vibe going on. As you mentioned, it's a beautiful autumn day in the northeastern part of the United States. I don't know how folks are experiencing this October, November time of year in maybe like California or Texas or what have you. I was just looking at the places people listen to our show, and it's all over the place. It's pretty amazing. Even some people listening in Japan and Malaysia. It's wild.
Ooh, that is wild.
It is. So hello to all you folks, and thank you for listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours. Let's give them a little taste of the Northeast, why don't we? And the culture that we experience. What does it mean to you this time of year? What kind of energy, what kind of thoughts do you feel, do you experience when we hit October, November?
Oh, well, you feel the seasonal change, the slowdown, getting more introspective, preferring cozier activities to being in the hustle all the time. For me, it's more about slowing down. Fall is about savoring, warm drinks, gatherings with friends. Also the spooky season, getting a little bit into your shadow side, exploring some of the darker aspects of our existence. Basically just relishing in being alive and really, really wanting to take in all those last good moments before the winter freeze, because we're about to go into our hibernation mode in winter here. So we have to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you prepare for that? You mean like psychologically or getting the winter clothes out and things of that nature? Both perhaps?
Oh, of course. Well, practical things, of course. Yes, but psychologically, just cleaning out your space, making it habitable, you want to make sure you kind of, well, this for me anyway, and I don't tell other people what to do, but, I try to make sure my space is as cozy as possible because I know I'm going to be inside more and, getting a list of books I want to read. Projects I want to work on, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have any animal companions, as we've spoken about in the past? You still have a kitty cat?
I do have a cat, yes, Avelino. He has his own Instagram in case anyone ever wants to look him up.
How do you spell it?
Avelino, so AVELLINO, and then it's underscore V, like the THE, and then another underscore, and then Orangey, that's his handle, so like orange.
Excellent. Excellent. I have to check that out on Instagram. Yeah, having some animal friends, other than human animal friends, other persons around during the hibernation period of winter is really helpful, I find. I have a chocolate lab, Katie girl, and she just so wonderful to be like sitting next to her. Dogs force you to go for walks, which in the winter sometimes you'd be maybe ill at ease to do otherwise because of the weather, but they drag you outside and they get in touch with nature then maybe you wouldn't otherwise. So it's yeah, having those friends at home during the winter I find helpful.
Oh, definitely. Well, my cat too is preparing for winter. His coat is changing. He's getting fluffier. He's starting to sleep a lot more. It's very cute. He wants to cuddle all the time. He's very emotional and wants to cuddle all the time.
That's nice. That's nice. And right now we're talking on October 27th of 2022. So just a few days away from Halloween. Are you preparing for that? Do you have a costume or do you have a gig of some sort of Halloween feel coming up? Anything like that?
Well, I'm going to visit some haunted attractions with some friends. Pretty low key for Halloween. I have a few costume ideas. Some of them are a little tongue in cheek, commentary on our current times. So one of them is a vegan milk protester.
A vegan milk. What you got to explain that? A vegan milk pro. So a person who protests against milk. A vegan who
Well,
pro.
actually, it's against, well, it's against any animal products, and I don't have a strict view on that one way or the other. I mean, I believe in humane conditions, for animals if they are going to be consumed, and I'm not judging anybody in any way or taking a stance on that. It's just there were protests. There's been a lot of protests recently that you're not really sure what they're calling attention to, and if they're creating more problems than they're actually trying to fix, So there were these milk protesters or animal product protesters in different places in England. Was one of the places I saw it, and they were just walking around the supermarket pouring milk out on the floor, and for basically the people working there to clean up and have to deal with, and working class people just trying to get through their day. And then the protesters were like, oh yeah, let's make their day worse. But
Right. It's kind of privilege too, right? I mean, people are starving and they wish they can have a carton of milk and you're just pouring it out on the floor.
It's one of those things where it's like, we get your intention. It's like, but you probably need to think about it a little more, in the execution, if you're trying to call attention to something, which, I realize too, when people are passionate, that they oftentimes don't consider every side, So it's anyway, that was just sort of in a way, a little silly costume idea I came up with for me and one of my best friends, that we could be milk protesters, and or we could be the paintings, that got mashed potatoes on them or tomato soup, the
Yeah, I heard about that.
Monet with mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? I mean, I didn't catch what the rationale was behind it, but having, just the idea of a Monet piece of brilliance being desecrated bothered me.
Oh, agreed. And I mean, museums aren't stupid. Of course, they glaze their paintings and everything. It's I get this trying to call attention. It's again, it's just the execution that's a little bit, you know, flawed, I would say.
Yeah, you're saying it's flawed because of how off-putting it could be, and then the issue that is important is tainted in a way. People aren't going to look at it seriously because they're kind of offended or uncomfortable with the way you're focusing on it.
Exactly. You know, a friend and I were discussing it, and we were saying, well, yeah, they'll probably be less likely to pay attention to climate change now because of something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Good point. And so you are working on some costumes. You haven't figured it out yet. And then I know you wanted to share a spooky story. Is that true? You have a spooky story?
Well, it's Halloween, All Hallows Eve approaching. I thought it would be in the spirit of the times. So in a way, I wanted to share, it's a story, but it's also a topic. And I think it's really interesting from a lot of perspectives.
You piqued my curiosity. I mean, I'm ready whenever you are, if you want to give us the opening and set us up for the story. Let's do it.
Okay. So we all experience nightmares, correct?
Yeah.
Even animals experience nightmares. I started thinking a lot about the origin of nightmares and where they come from. And one thing that I started to remember was a time where I experienced sleep paralysis. And, you know, this could be interpreted in a couple different ways. Sometimes people think that sleep paralysis, you know, is like a hallucination or, you know, something created by the brain. And scientists actually support that, even though they don't actually have they don't have a specific explanation for why we experience sleep paralysis the way that we experience it, because we all get similar hallucinations, which are not explainable. And that was the topic that I wanted to talk about. Have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
Well, I want to make sure I understand it. Now, what exactly would I have experienced if I experienced sleep paralysis?
Well, a very heavy feeling on your chest, something weighing you down. This, it can occur when you're falling asleep, but it usually occurs when you're waking up, or woken up in the middle of the night, sort of thing. So you would experience like a heavy bearing down on your chest, unable to move, almost like you have your senses and you're awake, but something's weighing down on you, sitting on your chest, and you wouldn't be able to move any of your any parts of your body or anything, or get your brain to activate anything.
Yes, I have experienced that. Yes, I have.
If I may ask, did you experience a hallucination? Did you experience like a figure or someone causing that to you, or just the sensation itself?
I don't remember a figure or anything. No, I remember the sensation and trying to wake up and struggling to be able to control and, you know, move my body and such. That's what I remember most distinctly.
Interesting. Well, the word nightmare is actually describing, well, nightmare has come to have a different meaning now. It has come to mean, you know, what the sort of spooky things we see in our dreams. But nightmare used to be the description of sleep paralysis. And it was actually recorded in almost every culture throughout history. Something along the same lines of a woman figure. She could be older or younger, sort of sitting on the chest of the victim and smothering them.
Wow, that's scary.
And it is scary. But there was another synchronicity around this, because I was thinking about the origins of storytelling recently, and I wanted to look into what was the oldest story ever recorded in history. And I mean, there are a few differing accounts, but everyone seems to agree that the Epic of Gilgamesh is the oldest story ever recorded. Mm-hmm. And one of the depictions in that story of the well-known female character, Lilith, who also is mentioned in the Bible, but has been mentioned in the Dead Sea Scrolls and throughout a lot of religious texts as the woman who sort of scorned Adam and left the Garden of Eden, you know, to go and do her own thing, sort of leaving Adam to Eve. Well, so she's depicted also in the Epic of Gilgamesh, but all occurrences of nightmares are also attributed to her, and any sort of like night demon is said to be a descendant of Lilith, who appears in the oldest story ever recorded.
Wow. What part of the world is that from?
There are two different things that I read about it. One was Sumerian Babylonian. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the most accurate.
Sumerian Babylonian. Gotcha.
Yeah. But so Lilith is said to be, you know, the mother of all demons, specifically night demons who taunt us in our sleep. And every culture has a depiction of this phenomenon called the night hag. And it's appeared in countless literature, the religious texts that I mentioned, just common folklore. And across the board, everyone experiences something similar. And I personally experienced something that was truly frightening in this phenomenon. I was living in Greece, and I didn't know anything, obviously, about the night hag. I may have seen depictions of things in films or something like that, but it's not something that was living in my consciousness, you know, to think that it would be something that my brain would create, mm-hmm. let's say. And I was experiencing some sleep disturbances because I was flying back and forth between the US and Greece a lot. And so I was always in a plane. I could never really adjust to, you know, time zones. I sort of felt like I was in this in-between sleep state, you know? Mm-hmm. And in my time of vulnerability, where I wasn't sleeping properly, I experienced this phenomenon of sleep paralysis. But what I saw when this happened to me was a frightening figure with long black hair. Her hair was also the blanket that was on my bed at the time. You know, it was somehow connected. Mm. And I mean, science will say I was hallucinating, but you know, this is the nightmare. This is what everyone hallucinates. This is not something, you know, that my brain wants to create out of its own device, right? Like it's something that's recorded throughout every culture in history.
Yeah, it's like the collective unconscious.
Exactly.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
Getting back to Lilith in a minute, I want to say something about feminism and how that all ties in. But so this demonic female with black hair, that her hair was, you know, connected to my blanket, began to strangle me with her hair.
Oh.
And I, you know, experiencing sleep paralysis, the feeling of not being able to move, and then also being strangled. I mean, this was like, oh, I'm gonna die. You know, this is how I die. Like that's obviously what I felt. And I've never experienced anything that frightening. I've never experienced anything on that level of horror. out of all the horror films I'd ever seen, you know, I mean, for me, it was the most terrifying thing ever to not be able to move, to have a demon, let's say, quote unquote, on top of you, strangling you with demonic hair. I mean, wow. Like, what is that? How does that even occur? Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, did it happen just one time?
Well, that particular demon, let's say, only visited me once, but I have had other instances of sleep paralysis while living in the U.S. with a different type of figure.
Was it just as scary, or was it maybe pleasant even, or never pleasant?
I think for me personally, after you meet one of these figures, you kind of recognize what they are, you know? Like, it's strange that it becomes familiar, and, you know, then you're able to react in a different way. My first experience, obviously, you know, with the one with the black hair strangling me was something else. I mean, I woke up in a cold sweat, you know, my heart palpitating. I wanted to jump out the window. I thought I was going insane. But, you know, of course, everyone just says, hey, it's a nightmare. Everyone gets those. But why does everyone get that same nightmare around this particular condition, right, that you're experiencing? Mm-hmm. It's recorded. That's what I find so incredible. It's recorded in every single culture.
Yeah, I find that fascinating, too. You know, you wonder if it's just intrinsic to the makeup of the human being, or if it is something larger than that, if there's another worldliness, you know, that we all are connected to, that does indeed exist, but it's not in our waking hours, conscious experience. It is, as we said earlier, a collective unconscious sort of phenomenon. It's very fascinating.
And if we go back to Lilith again, you know, she has also been lauded as a feminist figure in history. You know,
yeah, because she walked out on Adam, right? She left Adam behind for was Eve a Stepford wife then?
Something like that. Yeah, I mean it. If we think also about, you know, women and their stories being told, their stories weren't being told at that time. You know, they were being told by men. Mm-hmm. Their perspective was from a man's perspective. And, you know, so it's interesting that this woman that scorned a man, you know, also appears throughout other religious texts doing the exact same thing over and over again, becoming the mother of all demons, spawning all the nightmares of, you know, humanity. It's said that every single characterization that we have in our folklore, you know, even vampires, anything along those demonic lines, let's say, is stemmed from Lilith.
And that's wild. We're talking Western, Eastern, you know, every sort of realm of philosophy or religion, this exists, is your experience from your research.
Yes. I mean, there are different names in different cultures, but the similarities are there, you know. I mean, I'm not going to speak for every culture on Earth. Obviously, I can't. But, you know, it seems to not be limited to Western history, for sure. You know, and it's definitely appeared in Asian cultures. You know, and I'm sure there are other accounts that maybe aren't even recorded, you know.
Sure. African cultures, I'm sure, as well. Yeah, it. Whew, you wonder, I mean, you were mentioning how you were talking feminism and how females in throughout the course of history up to and including today, their stories and their, you know, the way they're framed oftentimes is majorly influenced, if not exclusively influenced, by the mindset of men. It makes you wonder, you know, it makes sense that, of course, an independent thinking person, woman, who goes and pushes back at the patriarchy would be deemed a negative figure.
and stems all the folklore surrounding dark forces or, you know, subversive, maybe even subversive thought, you know, just not thinking, you know, in traditional lines. You know, also witchcraft, you know, the figure that I saw, the first one when I experienced sleep paralysis, since it was in Greece, and I told a few people about it, they seemed to think, oh, you just met our local demon. You know what I mean? That this is something that other people had seen also. It wasn't, no one was surprised when I told them that I saw this. And that started to make me think, okay, I was in a vulnerable place because I wasn't sleeping properly, let's say, right? So maybe some of my defenses in my brain were down, and I may have tapped into a collective unconscious belief in that region.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
Because also when I experienced it in the US, it was with a different type of figure that, you know, that didn't match exactly. I mean, it was a female, of course, again, whatever, the same, similar thing, but different characteristics, you know, older, actually, like a much older woman, which is true to the folklore of the U.S., you know, surrounding the night hag, or, you know, sort of like English, New England, let's say, folklore.
Wow. That is pretty, you know, thought-provoking. You wonder how and why that occurred, you know, the difference that you experienced in your subconscious, the different figure, and it was connected to what was natural to that part of the world. That is fascinating. We're talking to Little Star Run here, our resident storyteller, and you know, we only have a few minutes left, believe it or not. The good conversations always go by very quickly. So, you know, with all of you, all that you've shared with us today, how do you want to kind of tie it together and leave our listeners with something to reflect on until the next time we connect on Troubadours and Rock On Tours?
Well, because it is sort of the spooky season around here, I feel like this is a time for us to maybe look at some of our darker aspects, maybe things that we repress, or things that we may not let into our consciousness because society or other entities have deemed that, you know, it's, we shouldn't be thinking that way or examining that or questioning that. And you know, in the spirit of Lilith and female night hag demons everywhere, I think we should all be thinking about, you know, how we can create subversive thought against the real demonic forces, let's say, because I somehow believe that maybe this is something that was created and that might not exist, you know, that it might just be this collective unconscious against maybe forces that are really beautiful and powerful. And maybe we get the visitations to give us a wake-up call.
I love it. I love it. Little Star Run, it's always a pleasure to have you on Troubadours and Rock On Tours, and I'm proud to have you as a regular contributor, a resident storyteller. I wish you the best autumn and winter that is possible, and I look forward to seeing you out and about and talking with you again on the program very soon. Thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I wasn't sure how the topic would be received, you know, but again, in the spirit of Lilith, let's say anything goes.
Oh, it was great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care of yourself, and have fun preparing for the hibernation.
Oh, thank you. You too, EW.
Ciao.
Take care. We'll be right back.
throw it off, relax, I'm gone, you've got me in your TV.
And now some statistics, facts, and figures, actual, to be sure, as gathered and published in Harper's Magazine for its October 2022 issue. This is coming from its very highly regarded, long-running page right in the beginning of the mag called Harper's Index. Actual facts and figures. Percentage change since 2019 in the portion of Americans who believe environmental laws are worth the cost, -23%. Percentage of U.S. voters who view climate change as the most important problem facing the country, 1%. Of U.S. voters under 30 who do, 3%. Percentage by which American men are more likely than women to support nuclear power, 47%. By which men are more likely than women to have donated blood, 32%. Percentage by which Trump voters are more likely than Biden voters to have donated sperm, 50%. By which more Democratic than Republican Congress members have announced testing positive for COVID-19, 48%. By which women are more likely than men to be afraid of crowded spaces, 59%. Percentage of Americans who say they aren't afraid of anything, 16%. Percentage by which Republicans are more likely than Democrats to say they would fight if the country were invaded, 52%. Percentage of Americans who could correctly identify Ukraine on a map in February, 34%. Factor by which this percentage has increased since 2014, a factor of 2. Minimum number of cigarette packs Philip Morris has donated to the Ukrainian army, 500,000. Portion of American young adults who have considered enlisting in the military, 1/10. Portion of those who are ineligible to enlist, 3/4. Portion of U.S. millennials who have pretended that they don't know how to cook to avoid having to help, 3/5. Or 60%. Percentage of Americans who don't drink the daily amount of water recommended by the USDA, 78%. Portion who say they don't drink enough water because they are too busy. 3/10, because they forget to. 1/4. Actual facts and figures. How do you like them apples? Fine days. Bowling pin on a windowsill. The lamp lighter bar and grill used to be on the corner of Sanderson and Drinker Place. Brunetti's Pizzeria across the street, with its grass hill to sit on while eating lunch meat, lettuce, cheese, onions, on a tan and white soft crisp hoagie bun. Those were some fine days. We had a nice time and some simple fun when we were young.
She
And there you have it, episode 495 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Little Star Run, Harper's Magazine, and these musical artists: Thelonious Monk, The Pretenders, Adam and the Ants, Art Deco, Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, Patty Smith, Brantford Marsalis and Terrence Blanchard too. And of course, I would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.